This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, August 23rd. Well, the wheat markets have been fairly quiet. We've had Minneapolis wheat hovering at their contract lows as harvest kicks into high gear across the northern plains for spring wheat, and good yields, very good yields coming in across much of the northern plains. So that market's going to be struggling to find any upward momentum, and in fact, most likely harvest pressure will continue to just slowly erode that market over the next few weeks. Winter wheat, of course, harvest is complete across the northern hemisphere, and those markets too have kind of struggled to get anything going to the upside. Kansas City is hovering at its contract lows. Chicago's not quite at the contract lows, but it still is in just a slow downward type of trajectory. Much of this can be attributed to the big crops that were cut out of Europe and the Black Sea, even though they weren't quite as big as what was expected due to the late summer drought and heat wave, they're still big crops, and they are competing pretty aggressively against each other, especially into that key North African market. We've also got a corn market that has completely eliminated its weather premium that was done in late May and early June, with the big rally of corn, of course, with the very late plantings. And since then, you know, we've had a number of bearish components come into the market. First of all, the plantings reports just were not as bullish as the trade expected. The supply-demand report cast a major bearish component to the complex. You've got a crop tour that going on that has, you know, it's showing yields, of course, are going to be down from last year and from the average, but not quite as bad as what the trade is bracing for. You've got the president granting ethanol waivers to refineries. That's obviously a bearish component. And you got big production of corn coming out of Ukraine and South America. So these are a lot of components to the corn complex that have, again, completely eliminated the weather premium for the United States. As we move forward, corn is going to be primarily focused on growing degree days, basically the temperatures, as you know, the late plantings put it at risk of an early frost or even a normal frost that would cut the growing season short for this corn. That's a very real possibility, and you know, it's just going to take time to see if that happens or to see what those weather forecasts that far out would present. So in the meantime, you know, the market is on the ropes in corn, and that's offering no support to the wheat complex. Export sales yesterday for wheat were a bright spot, 600,000 tons. That was above the high end of the range of estimates from 250 to 500,000 tons. That's the second week in a row that wheat export sales have been better than expected, better than the high end of the range. So at least we have that going for us. And it's quite a range of buyers, nothing really that stands out from one buyer. Hard red winter wheat made up about a third of that at 242,000 tons. Spring wheat was 186,000 tons. Corn export sales at 421,000, that was within the range of estimates from 250 to 950. And soybeans at 818,000 tons, that was above the high end of the range from 150 to 700,000. So if nothing else, at least we got the wheat showing some pretty decent export sales. And that is impressive considering the competition in the North African markets. We're not even close to competing with those. We know that Russia and Ukraine and the European Union are all going to be vying for a big market. There is some talk about some dryness in Argentina, perhaps cutting into production there, but it's very early for them yet. And so, they would start it off looking like very good production potential. So we're not going to get worked up about that just yet, but it's on the radar. And of course, Australia is always on the radar with drought, and their growing season's just getting started as well. They had okay planting season. They've had some rain, but there is still lingering dryness across much of the country. So, you know, that's another area, a major producer out of the southern hemisphere that could contribute to more of a decline in world production. But the bottom line is world wheat carryover stocks are going to be record large. And we have adequate supplies of milling grade wheat, got plenty of feed wheat. Luckily, we've got a place to put that feed wheat here in the United States with the Southern Plains, low pro wheat moving into the feed channels because of tight corn supplies there. So at least we can move through these stocks of U.S. wheat, but we're still looking at a billion bushel plus carry out. The world is, again, a record carry out. So there's just really not a compelling story in the wheat complex that would create a lasting uptrend. As far as the downside, however, I think that's pretty limited. We should have already carved out our harvest lows for winter wheat. Spring wheat still has some work to do on the downside, I think. Corn prices, it would be difficult to really continue to press corn prices, considering our crop here really is in rough shape. You still have to get it into the bin, despite what USDA's suggestions are. And so I think the grain complex is about as compressed as it can be before you really have a good idea of what your corn production is. And with wheat, with the export sales, you know, being solid like they are, that too, we shouldn't see a whole lot more downside to the wheat space. There's quite a bit of talk floating around that you can deliver hard red winter wheat against, well, you can, but that there will be some deliveries of hard red winter wheat into the soft red winter wheat futures contract. Now that obviously would be supportive to hard red winter wheat and not so much for soft red. So that's a situation where I think the spreads have widened out so far. They've reached record highs with Kansas City discount to Chicago that it actually pays to deliver hard red against a soft red contract. Now that is one for the record books. And if that's the case, even just the talk of that would suggest that you have found your bottom in that spread. Now, I'm not saying to go out and buy like the front month Dece, although that's probably going to work just fine. The fundamentals in place that have created this widespread aren't really going to change for this marketing year. But it's when you look at the next marketing year and you see the July 2020s of those spreads sitting in, you know, 53 cents under, that's huge. That's only 20 some cents under where the Dece is, or 15 or so where the Dece is. So I think that's where you want to be for a long-term trade. Buying the Kansas City 20, July 20 versus Chicago 20 is, I think, a pretty safe play here. And you just hold it because the fundamentals in the next crop year could be so much different. And that normally Kansas City carries a premium to Chicago anyway. So it takes time to work through these fundamentals. But again, getting into a different crop year creates a different set of fundamentals. The crop tour going on, of course, throughout the Midwest had some drama there with some threats against a USDA employee. So USDA pulled all their employees off the tour. But we are getting some results. Iowa corn yields at 183 versus the 185 average. Soybeans 1103 pod count compared to the 1175 average. I think this is really the crux of why the corn market hasn't been able to really get off the mat here. The western part of the Midwest looks pretty good, except the far fringes. The eastern Midwest looks horrible. So they're offsetting to some degree, but it is pretty impressive that Iowa, which had all that flooding early in the season, finally managed to get the crop in and look where they're at. So I really think that it's a matter of time. That can we get this crop to the finish line before Mother Nature cuts it off? And that's the key. So that's why I think, you know, the corn market has given up all of its weather premium. So here we are back at prices before you even had the planting problems. That's astonishing in itself. But when you look at, okay, so your demand base has taken a hit with the ethanol waivers and you've got big production coming out of the rest of the world and the dollar keeps creeping higher. So that creates a rebalance of things, but still the bottom line is you're going to have a pretty short crop here in the United States. And at some point the market is just going to stop going down. And I think that we're pretty much at that point. And that should offer support for the wheat space as well. If you have any questions, feel free to call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.